From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on June 15, 2010. The village of Brockport was the first village in the state of New York to hold a dissolution vote under a new state law. And voters there rejected dissolution rather handily, a final count of 959 to 662. The largest village to dissolve in this state was Seneca Falls, ending its status as a village beginning in 2012. And Governor Andrew Cuomo has blamed high taxes on too many layers of government. The state has encouraged voters to at least look at dissolution. This hour, we welcome a panel of mayors to talk about the value of villages, and we hope to have your feedback. If you live in a village, or if you want to weigh in on the subject, we'd love to hear from you. You can call the program toll-free. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or right here in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. In studio for the hour is Mayor Rick Milne from Honeyway Falls. Rick, nice to see you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We have Mayor Margie Blackman from the Village of Brockport, who voted on June 15, 2010. You said you still have your vote no signs?
I have no. We turned the vote no signs over to another village experiencing a dissolution vote. I still have my vote no on dissolution t-shirt.
Very good. And in just a moment, we expect to be joined as well by Mayor Bob Corby of the Village of Pittsford. So you're going to see a cross-section of villages. And again, we'd like to hear from you. But let me start with you, Rick. When it comes to this question, you've seen Governor Cuomo throughout this year and, frankly, throughout most of his first term talk about the issue of consolidation of services. And in some campaign literature, he even explicitly blamed, he said, taxes are too high because there's too many layers of local government and time to start cutting them. I don't know if that's an outright vote for dissolution, but how's your relationship with the governor? What do you think?
Well, I may not agree with the governor on all points. Are our taxes in New York State too high? Absolutely. Do we always need to look at ways to save money, consolidate services where they make sense? Absolutely. And we have put together a list of over 1,500 such services throughout the state where municipalities are working, villages are working with towns, villages are working with school districts, et cetera, on sharing services where it makes sense. But it has to make sense. Not every consolidation saves money.
Is the governor anti-village?
It certainly seems that the governor is anti-village from the standpoint of looking specifically at villages as a way to get rid of a layer of government that he seems to feel is not important.
Margie, when it comes to the governor's position, I think what Rick seems to be saying is it's an oversimplification just to point the finger at villages, for example, when it comes to consolidation. But what are your views, not just as a mayor, but as a taxpayer, when it comes to the idea of consolidation in general?
Well, again, I certainly agree with Rick about shared services, but I have always had very strong feelings about local government. I think the most local government is the most responsive, and I think there are many of us that feel that way. In the village of Brockport, no doubt about the high taxes. Brockport has some of the highest taxes of any village because we have a very large chunk of our village that is tax exempt, which is the college at Brockport. But we also have very good services as a village, and I don't think a lot of people would like to give those up, which might happen with consolidation.
So we're going to talk this hour about specifically the value and the specific services provided. And we already see the phones ringing. Before we get to some of your calls, let me just go ahead and mention some of the statistics that the Cuomo administration has been offering when it comes to the construction of government in New York State. 3,453 local governments, according to the governor's office, as of 2012, included 57 counties, 614 cities and villages. Most of the cities and villages are villages. 500 plus, I think, and 929 towns, 715 school districts, 1,174 special districts. And again, I think that's also coming from the U.S. Census Bureau. So Governor Cuomo is in many ways just saying that's a lot. And the average taxes for someone living in a village are going to be higher. It's an extra layer of government that you're paying. You know, for example, Rick, what's someone paying in terms of taxation to live in Honeyway Falls as a village?
Well, in Honeyway Falls, we're just over $2 per thousand, and it's 100% assessed value. We actually have what we believe is still the lowest tax rate in Monroe County. But for that $2.
Well, $2,000 is a rough average. For the average home, it might be an extra $2,000 a year.
It's actually only $100. What it's only $2 per thousand of assessed value. So the average taxpayer in the village of Honeyway Falls may only be paying $150 or $200 for the village taxes.
That's what I meant, $200. Right.
So with that service, we have a volunteer ambulance service. We have a volunteer fire department. We plow the sidewalks. We pick up all the brush, et cetera, et cetera. You get a lot for that, $2.05 per thousand.
Brockport,
we're at the other end of the spectrum. I think we are the second highest taxed village in Monroe County. Our tax rate's $11.80 per thousand. But as I said, much of that is due to the fact that in our 2.2 square mile area of village, a good chunk of that, almost two-thirds of it, is tax exempt because of the college. And of course, we have other benefits because of the college being there. We have the services that Rick talked about, the brush pickup, sidewalk plowing, street plowing, but we also have our own police force, which we need because of the college, and that's a big part of our budget.
And that's a big part of where those taxes are going, with that police force.
A little bit over 40%.
And do you get a sense that residents have a sort of a full faith and understanding in that?
I think so. I think most of them do. I think most of us would find it difficult to imagine living in Brockport with a population of 8,400 and a college that has that many people as well 9 months out of the year without a resident police force. And I've been on lots of ride-alongs with the police, and I know what goes on between 10 o'clock at night and 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm very grateful that they're there.
Before we even continue, I want to say typically we'll develop the conversation a bit. The calls will come in, but I know our first caller is, I'm told by our screener that he's driving. Keith, are you driving and calling the show? This is not the day to be doing both. Are you there, Keith?
Hold it. Are you there?
We're here. Are you driving and calling?
Yeah, wonders of Bluetooth technology.
Okay, well, be careful and go ahead. Thanks
for
calling.
Let me put my coffee and cigarette down, too. I gave up smoking years ago, and I don't have any coffee. I got a couple comments. One about the mayor of the village of Honeyway Falls. You stated that in the village you have ambulance service. Do the taxpayers fund the ambulance service, or does the ambulance service bill for their services?
It's actually a little bit of both, Keith. It's a village ambulance department that is partially shared with the town of Mendon. We both contribute to that, but there are also there is indeed third party billing, as you question.
All right, one of the advantages is living in the village is really not the ambulance service, because it's still, if you lived in the outside of the village, they still would respond, correct?
Oh, they still do respond outside the village, yes.
It sounded like that the village has a ambulance service for the village residents, and I know they don't. The other thing I find this humorous is, okay, you have a town, and now you have a village. Well, if that's really efficient and works well, then let's have a hamlet underneath the village and come up with another community a little bit smaller than hamlet underneath that. And I'll give you a classic example why the village and town is absurd nowadays. Is you drive down, you go to the town of Victor, you drive down School Street, you'll see the town highway department. And less than two-tenths of a mile from there is the village highway department. If that doesn't highlight the absurdity of town versus village and the need to continue that, I don't know what does. And then on the other extreme, you have an area like Toronto that has a metropolitan form of government of about, 3.5 million people? And it seems to do quite well without the villages and the towns and all the other layers of government that they have. And I believe the governor is right. You got to get rid of some of the duplication.
All right. Well, Keith, hold there if you could, and let's let Rick and Margie respond here. And I'll start with you, Rick. He talked a little bit about Honeyway Falls, but in general, he's talking about overlap. He looked at Victor. Is that inherently ridiculous to you that there's a Victor Town and a Victor Village Highway Department?
Well, I think it all depends on the work that they do and where they do that work. Certainly, I think we would not be doing our jobs if we would not consider looking at all the different services that we have and try to make a decision on, is there a better way? Can some of these services be combined, and can we consolidate some of the facilities? I think it should be up to every municipality and the residents that live there that if they want to look at doing something different, then they should look at doing something different. Are there a lot of layers of government? Yes. Are there some duplications? Yes. But do they also all do different things and have different services? And they really do. And I think that's where Keith makes a good point. And it's not that we shouldn't ever look at that, but I think you have to understand that there are different services that all of these groups perform. Town highway departments and village highway departments, yes, they clear roads, but they also do different types of work for their residents outside the village versus inside the village. So, yeah, there are some duplications, and that needs to be looked at and should always be looked at.
Keith, one more follow-up?
No, I'm sorry. The guy just can't convince me. And it's sad because if you do away with the village and all the people that get their income from working in village government don't have a job, you know, I would say fine. Anybody who wants a village, then don't pay the people that work in the village. But that's absurd. But what can the village highway department do that the town can't do, especially if they have the exact same equipment? It's absurd.
Keith, thanks for the call.
It makes no sense.
Thank you, Keith. Rick, you may just agree to disagree here, but again, go ahead.
No, you know, again, there are certainly equipments that the village may have that the town has also. Again, when our plow trucks are out, the plow trucks that we have, even on a day like today, are going throughout the whole day keeping our village streets clear. They could not go out in the town and take the town's, do the town streets. There's just not enough time, not enough trucks, and not enough people. Likewise, the town really couldn't do ours. So
Keith would say, why can't the town do yours?
Again, they don't have that many employees, nor do we. It's not like we have excess employees sitting out there doing nothing.
I think if you're going to talk about that kind of consolidation of having services like that, two different services, you know, all doing the same thing, you're talking about consolidation on a much, you know, larger scale, larger level. Then you can talk about coterminous towns, villages, for example, getting rid of a layer of government that way, having one highway department that would do both things. But that takes a lot of political will to do something like that. You find a village and a town that want to, in this day and age, become coterminous with one of them taking over, you know, the other. And I think that's a difficult route to go.
And if I could just be fair, Rick, you say, you know, the town really couldn't do the village. The town would do the village, just not as well, right? I mean, the town would do the streets, but it would not be the pristine streets a lot of people get used to living in villages.
I think that's correct. But again, they would have to add manpower or hours to their day to include the village's streets. There's really quite a bit of work that goes into that. So, yes, could they do it? Sure, they could. Just like the village could do the town streets, but again, it would be a whole nother layer of excess equipment or personnel that's needed.
All right, this just happens to be a day where it's easy to talk about plowing as
sure.
One of the services. That's what's one of the things happening in villages today. But I'll start with Margie. List out for me some of the other services that you as a resident in Brockport, for example, feel are vital, and you wouldn't want to live outside of a village because of the services you get there.
I can think of not just services, but I can think about the different scale of the villages, say, compared to other areas. Brockport is a very walkable, pedestrian-friendly village. And it's great. I live right in the village. I live a block from Village Hall. I can walk just about, you know, anywhere that I want to, or, you know, or bike. So there's that advantage of having access to the downtown and to other things, kids being able to walk to school and that sort of thing. Certainly the street lighting, really good street lighting, is something that you may not get in the suburbs or out in the town. The water infrastructure, sewer infrastructure. I know towns also do brush pickup. We do leaf pickup. Our DPW is still picking up leaves in the village, and I mentioned our police force as well. Which is something that you wouldn't have that kind of attention if you didn't live in a village. And you're really talking about, in a lot of areas, and when you talk about towns and villages, about two, you know, sort of very different entities, in that towns are much more spread out, they're more rural. The villages are the centers of population. They're much, you know, they're much denser. They have different needs.
Rick, same question.
Yeah, And I think I would have to echo a lot of what Margie says. You know, I live directly, you know, in the center of the village as well. I can also walk to Village Hall. I can walk to the local grocery store. I can walk to any of our local restaurants. And that's what makes a village very, very special. You know, people that live in villages because they want that type of easy access. That's not to say that most of the town areas that are more spread out, that are not quite as walkable or bikeable, is not a place that I would want to live per se. But there are people have different mindsets of the type of community they want to live in, and they do have different needs. So the people that live in villages know that, for the most part, they're going to look out their window and they're going to be looking at somebody else's home that's very, very close. Where in towns, you know, they have more property. They have maybe have horses and et cetera, and they can do that. I think the ability for walkability and bikeability is the biggest thing in a village. And as Margie said, villages were created hundreds of years ago because that's where the majority of the people wanted to congregate, and where they set up their businesses, where they set up their shops, and where most of the commerce was done. And certainly that tends to grow. Many of our towns have little hamlet centers, if you will, mm-hmm. where they have a grocery store and some other businesses, but they're still not as walkable. The people still have to drive to get to any of this, most of this shopping. So I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest difference.
In some ways, it's interesting because there's been so much talk. I've noticed a lot of talk this year alone about the concept of walkability, even in the city of Rochester, where they're filling a third of the interloop to try to create more of a walkable community and a lure for people to find the space and the place to be where they don't have to be always on motor transportation. I think it's sort of an interesting, kind of a Norman Rockwell kind of throwback notion that villages do seem to provide, because, Margie, I'm not crazy, right? People are talking more about walkability recently than I've heard in years.
Oh, I think so. I think very much, too. I mean, we now have National Walk to School Day, where they're trying to encourage walking for school kids. Brockport, for example, just recently got a Genesee Transportation Council planning grant, $50,000 grant for active transportation to plan for more, to make the village even more pedestrian, bicycle friendly, incorporating the Brockport Central School System and the outlying areas of Clarkson and Sweden. So there's a great emphasis upon this.
And before we get back to the phones, I'll say that, again, for our listeners, you don't have to live in a village if you want to join the conversation, but we'd love to hear from you if you do, especially. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. The mayors from Honeyoy Falls and Brockport are in studio with us for the hour as we talk about the value of villages and the debate about what should we do with them. So let me take a phone call, and then in the second half hour, we're going to talk more about sort of these mayors' visions for the villages and what happens after a dissolution. I'm very curious to know, 4 years, it's been about 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Been about 4 years. You know, are we ever going back there? Margie's going to say no, but we're, you know, it's going to be...
Vote may come up again.
Okay, well...
It's possible.
I think these are good things to discuss. Let me grab Maggie in Rochester. Maggie, thanks for calling.
Hello. So the villages are almost heaven, just like West Virginia. You can walk everywhere. You can walk to the town hall. Now, if these villages were to be incorporated into the towns, would all that disappear? I don't think so. I think people are interested in saving their jobs and the village worker jobs, okay? Bye.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. She's saying, essentially, those jobs are going nowhere, right? I mean, she thinks that life would largely be the same.
Again, you know, if there were a consolidation, would the village area still be there? Would people still live and be able to walk around? Yes, we're not disputing that at all. And if our residents want us to look at alternative ways to do business and alternative ways to save money, I don't think, and this is my opinion, but I don't think we as a mayor or mayors would be doing our jobs if we were afraid to look at that. And as you said, Evan, we're going to talk about that more in the second half hour. My concern and the concern of NYCOM, the New York State Conference of Mayors, is the process by which that happens. And I think that's more important.
Curtis writes to us, I've always paid more to live in a village, and I'm happy to do so. Wouldn't have it any other way. And Mike in the city wanted to call in and make a comment. Mike says, if people are happy paying the taxes required to keep the villages going, God bless them. If not, move out. So there's Mike's comment. But, you know, Rick brings up an interesting point about the process of dissolution. And let's do this. Let's take about a 60-second break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what this process does look like, what it should look like. And I'm curious to know if the mayors in studio with us for the hour are hearing, in the Brockport case, more about dissolution. In Honeyway Falls, does it ever come up? Again, 4 years ago in Brockport, it wasn't all that close of a vote, but you never know. So we'll come back, talk much more about the value of villages and your comments as well in our second half hour on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Welcome back to Connections. Jake writes to us and says, can your guests comment on flash versus function? Living in Hilton, I fully understand the need for a fire department, but why do many villages have to go for form versus function? I do see a lot of wasteful spending in plenty of other areas. I don't agree with dissolution, but I see no real efforts to truly spend less. Start with you, Rick. Form versus function. That's an interesting question. You agree with the premise at all of that?
It's an interesting way to put that, and I'm going to try to remember that one. I think that is something that all municipalities struggle with. When we have, first of all, I want to stress that I think our volunteer fire departments and our ambulance corps are absolutely incredible groups of people, and they do a wonderful job. But as a mayor, the municipality often is, we often have to go through the meeting process with our fire departments or with our ambulance services, and they may come in and say, hey, it's time for us to buy, you know, a new fire truck. Well, that fire truck may be $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. A new pumper truck or ladder truck may be $1.5 million. And it's the municipality will usually say, do we really need to spend that much? What can we do to cut that cost down? Do we need all these, quote, you know, bad quote, but bells and whistles? And the fire departments or ambulance services will, ambulance corps will then provide us the information as to why they need this, why they need that, why they need the next thing. And they're really the, even though they're volunteers, they're the professionals. So we quite often need to take their suggestions to heart and say, they know what they really need. So, yeah, we're going to move forward with that. But do we really need, Honeyway Falls has looked at that. We recently got rid of one of our pumper trucks because we knew we were going to need a special UTV-type vehicle for Mendon Ponds Park. And in order to pay for that, we decided that we would actually go down a pumper truck and sell one because we just, number one, we didn't have the room for the extra truck, and number two, the fire department agreed that it was just extra equipment that we didn't need. So we've tried to look at that. But the gentleman has a good point. There are a lot of, just like buying a car, do you buy a standard car that, you know, that comes with package A, or do you want the extras? And some people will buy the extras, and some people say, no, I just drive in that car every day. I really don't care about the extras. And they make that choice. So we have to rely on the information we get from our departments. Sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't.
I think to some degree his question to me reads as well as standard versus extras in a village. And the extras can be beautification, aesthetics, etc. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who love living in a place where there's a bit of a uniformity, an aesthetic, a sort of a rhythm to the way the center of the village looks. And others say you're overly regulatory or you're wasting money there. What do you think?
Well, I have to use Honeyway Falls as my example, but every spring we have flower baskets, you know, on both sides of the street. They get watered every single day, 7 days a week to keep them looking nice. And we will have a couple people come to us and say, do we really need that? We have many more people saying it looks absolutely incredible. Keep it up. Don't stop. But again, Evan, that's one of those things that we struggle with all the time. And we try to listen to what the majority of the people are telling us they want.
Margie?
I would say in terms of that's an interesting issue about aesthetics, because when we went through the recession in 2008, 2009, up into 2010, that was one of the things that got cut. It was the beautification lines. Mm-hmm. It was the tree planting lines. It was parks. And volunteers actually stepped in. The downtown merchants, even now, buy the flower baskets, which we have beautiful hanging baskets. We have a volunteer. In fact, we're giving him a certificate at our next village board meeting who has, I think, 4 years now, watered the flowers every day. We have downtown fencing around our trees downtown that were all done by donations. We have one person who is a master gardener in the village takes on community service people through the courts who do a lot of the planting and tending of the gardens. And so we have just this incredible spirit of volunteerism in Brockport, which has stepped in to take over those things and also to keep the aesthetics. And we have a lot of public art as well, which we have gotten, again, through donations, through grants that we have gone for. And in terms of that, it's interesting, the discussion about we're kind of at opposite ends in terms of Honeyway Falls and Brockport in a couple of ways, because back in 2011, we went from being a village fire department who contracted with the neighboring towns of Sweden and Clarkson for fire service to becoming a fire district. And it was a very difficult and painful decision. And it was one of those things where a lot of people in the village, because there was such a long history of having a fire department of generations of fire families, you know, they didn't want to let go of the fire department.
Right.
But we did become a fire district. So, you know, here we are creating more layers of government.
And there you go. And there another layer of government, another taxing entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually looking, we're actually discussing that in Honeyway Falls right now, not so much with our fire department, but with our ambulance service. We've had an incredible ambulance service for many, many years, and we know that that's going to continue. But we are actively looking at the potential, the possibility of merging that ambulance group with another community's ambulance to create a stronger ambulance service that would serve both communities. So it's something we're always looking at.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to the mayors of Brockport and Honeoye Falls about the value of villages, especially in this year. We had an election year. Governor Andrew Cuomo's talked a lot about his dissatisfaction with what he perceives to be too many layers of government, 551 villages in the state. The governor saying there's too much overlap of services. He wants to see more consolidation. If you want to join the program, you can call. It's 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255. I see the phones ringing now, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Now, Rick, you've got a new title for a year coming up here.
I will be, in May of 2015, I will be appointed and elected as the president of the New York State Conference of Mayors.
And what is the purpose of the Conference of Mayors? What will your role be?
I will work with the organization itself in trying to continue to support and gain more support for the 550-plus villages and 62 cities throughout the state. You know, we really focus on trying to do away with and lower the cost of unfunded mandates, which is the biggest thing that affects all of our municipalities, you know, pension costs, health care costs, et cetera. And we'll also be working, you know, with all the folks in Albany trying to talk about the dissolution process. That's a big thing for us to try to make that process make sense.
I'm looking through the glass at our engineers. I mean, I said the number, and all of a sudden, four phone lines started ringing at once. So in a moment, we are going to get back to the phones. If you're waiting to talk, you will be on in a moment. But let me ask a little bit more about dissolution, because, first of all, in Brockport, there was a vote again 4 years ago. Marky Blackman was not the mayor at the time, but you've happily voted no. It was a pretty resounding victory for the no's, preserving the village. But what do you hear now? Is there more talk of a new vote for dissolution?
We have heard rumblings that there may be a vote. I don't think anybody knows yet for certain that there will be. We had heard of one person who had someone approach her with a petition to sign to support dissolution. She refused to sign. That's about what we've heard. So we anticipate that this might happen again.
Once there is a vote taken, if it's a no vote and the village is mm-hmm. preserved, no votes for 4 years. Is that mm-hmm. is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you're at the point now where there can be another vote.
Yes, and the bar has been, this is one of the things that Governor Cuomo did or that the legislature did, which was to set the bar lower than it had been for dissolution votes. You only need 10% of the registered voters, which is not very many, on a petition in order to get it on a referendum.
Does that trouble you?
Yeah, for most things, it's what, 25% or 20% for other,
right.
for other referendums.
Certainly the Cuomo administration has made it easier for dissolution to happen. Here we are now, and what happens for you? I mean, if this starts to go down the track skin, Margie, I guess you deal with it as it comes, but, mm-hmm. You know, as a mayor now, would it be roughly the same as it was 4 years ago?
No, I think it's very different. At the time that it happened 4 years ago, there was a somewhat dysfunctional village board. There was a lot of division on the village board itself. We were facing at the time it started a potential 18% tax increase, which wasn't what we were really going to face. But it got out to the media, and I think the tax increase that year was still large. It was 6%, but even with that tax increase, people voted down
the dissolution. Yeah.
And we're in a much better position now. We've met the tax cap for the last 3 years. We're financially in a much better position. We've signed on with a grant writing firm just since July 1st of 2013. We've brought in over $450,000 in grants. We are actually taking a step away from what Governor Cuomo is looking for, and we have just set up a village court in Brockport, which is, there aren't many village courts being set up in this day and age, but ours, we did take a vote on that. The resolution passed, and our court will be up and operating on January 2nd.
Okay. And we've talked about Seneca Falls. I don't know how many villages have dissolved in this state in the last 1, 2, 3 years.
I...
I see a lot of votes. Yeah. Medina voted earlier this year. They voted no.
Lyons voted yes.
Lyons voted yes.
There was one, I believe, out in central New York. And I believe there have been only two since this new law was passed that have voted under the new program. I believe it's two out of close to 10.
Okay, to 10 votes.
Yes. That number may be incorrect, yeah. But it's not many.
Okay. Again, if you're hanging on the phone, last point I want to make, and then we're coming to the phones, which is this, Rick. You want to see – I know you're not somebody who is opposed to letting voters decide. If people want to vote on dissolution, they'll vote. And I know that you'll make the case as mayor the same way that you've been making this hour. But what about the process do you want to see change?
Well, the process, and I think that should be the biggest issue – that most municipalities or mayors have. As I've said in the past, and this is my opinion, if I'm doing my job, if there's a large group of people from my village that want us to look at dissolution or want us to look at other consolidations, if that's what the registered voters want us to look at, then we'd not be doing our job if we didn't. Unfortunately, though, the process today is that a petition is created, the petition is presented, and you have a vote to dissolve or not. If that is approved, then you come up with a study and a plan to not only follow through on the dissolution, but then to create this or do the study that will actually show you, is there going to be a overall tax savings? Is there going to be, is the plan going to work? Is there going to be a savings for the residents? What really needs to change is that if a petition is brought forward and if there is a vote taken, then the vote should be to do a study, to do that study and come up with a plan to dissolve and see if it really makes sense for your local residents. And, oh, by the way, does the town want to take you on? Are they in agreement with it? Then have a secondary vote. Once you know what the real ramifications are, then take the second vote to say yay or nay.
You're saying it's backwards now.
It's absolutely backwards.
And will you, as the head of the Association of Mayors, are you going to work to change that next year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that will be a continuing effort, not to get away with dissolution, but to get away or to change the process so that it makes sense, so that people have the right answers.
All right, let's get to the phones. Craig is in. Craig, I've got Honey I Falls, Mendon. Where are you right now, Craig?
Well, right now I'm in Geneseo, but I'm from Honey I Falls.
Okay.
And hello, Mayor Milne.
Hello. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, Rick. Just a couple of points I wanted to make, and I'll hang up after that and listen to what it is that you have to say. Well, first of all, I'd like to say this, that I think that the feasibility and the cost involved with the study of the feasibility should be looked at, and I know that's going to be very costly, but my question to you and the town supervisor would be, well, who is it that can operate its government cheaper and provide the services that people want? The village provides more services than the town does. The village has 2,800 residents. The town of Mendon has 9,000 residents. I think it's backwards. I think that I would like to see legislative laws where you look at who can operate it more cost efficiently instead of assuming that the town absorbs the village. Maybe the village can do it better and cheaper, and maybe the village should absorb the town. That's my two cents. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Craig. Go ahead, Mayor Milne.
Well, that premise of a village absorbing a town has actually been brought up, and I'm not saying in front of the legislature or anything like that, but it certainly has been discussed. Currently, there's no state law that would allow that. You cannot dissolve a town. You can dissolve a village. As Mayor Blackman had suggested before, there are a few coterminous town villages, East Rochester being one of only five throughout the state. And that happened years ago. To create a coterminous town village would be very difficult today, but I'm sure it could be done. But to the caller's point, I think outside of changing New York State law to allow a village to absorb a town or and create a larger village, I think that would just have to be simply part of the plan. What municipality, or how would the new municipality, if you will, how would the town absorbing the village, how would they manage all the services? Would there be multiple layers of government formed because of that? You would have a lighting district, you would have a sewer district, you may have a sidewalk district, et cetera. So multiple layers of extra government taxing entities, if you will, all part of that town would be created that are not there now. They're there under the village, but they're not separate. So I appreciate the caller's comments, but you know, I think that would just have to be created in the plan, and you would hope that the plan would be put together in a genuine form with support of both the town and the village representatives that have to create that plan. And you want to do what's best for your residents.
But right now, state law doesn't allow it, and
correct.
So non-starter right now. And Andrew is in Irondequoit. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead.
Thank you guys for all that you do. And thank you, Evan, for solving this whole problem today.
I don't know if we've solved much, but it's
a good
conversation.
I wish.
My question to the mayors is, I hear Maggie Brooks a lot of times. She talks about how it's the state mandates that's my spending issue. And do state mandates, are you under state mandates to spend as mayors of towns?
Well, they're state mandates in terms of things such as the retirement. We don't have any control over the retirement system and how much has to be put into that, and that's a huge cost for villages.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain mandates that may not affect some of our smaller local villages. You know, a lot of things that are always talked about are the Wicks Law and the Triborough Amendment, and those have to do with, you know, programs that are set up with union organizations or labor organizations, and the costs you have to pay for, you know, construction projects and how they're bid out, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that may not affect smaller villages, but it does affect many of our other communities surrounding us. But as Mayor Blackmun just said, you know, the pension and health care costs, which in a sense we consider mandates, yes, you have to have them, but we don't have any control over those. And as an example, for the small village of Honeyway Falls, you know, with, you know, 15 to 20 employees, we cannot join a healthcare consortium. So when you have a village such as a Pittsford or a Fairport that may have 50 employees or more, they can get into a healthcare consortium where they will join with other municipalities and, you know, get their health care at possibly a better cost. Mm-hmm. Where the village of Honeyway Falls, with our, you know, small amount of employees, we're not allowed by law to do that. And that's something else that I'm going to work on. You know, I'm sure, and I can very easily say that if I went across our area and even across the state, I could get hundreds of small municipalities with 5 to 10 employees or 15 employees that would all sign on to the same program if it were going to save them money on health care. But under today's laws, we can't do that.
That's terrible.
It is. But, yeah, you know, there are costs that are pushed down to all municipalities that may affect larger entities, more so than, you know, a village of Honeyway Falls. But there are certainly costs that are passed down to us that we just don't have any control over.
Thanks for the call, Andrew, and a good question. Online, Chris on Twitter, and it's at Evan Dawson on Twitter, says, if so many volunteers are willing to keep up the beautification of Brockport, why is a separate government necessary for the village? Again, that's just one portion of it, and I do think that Margie Blackmun was saying that it's a positive in your mind that people are willing to
Absolutely.
Volunteer that and to donate, and that allows the village not to have to pay for that. But Chris also says 2/3 of Brockport may not pay taxes, but also doesn't receive village services. Is that right?
No, they buy water from the college buys water from the village. We buy water from Monroe County Water Authority, and we have our own water system, and we manage it. So we sell water to the college and also to the Brockport Central School System, which has been an important revenue source for us. So they do receive that service. They're not on our sewer system.
Let me grab. Let's see here.
But we share certain services with the college. Mm-hmm. So
phone lines again continue to be filled up. This is John in the city of Rochester. John, go ahead.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Rick. Rick, I worked for your dad about 40 years ago.
My goodness.
What a gentleman he was.
He still is.
Fantastic guy. I got to look him up.
Man, thank you.
I really like that man. Listen, there was a study done in Erie County maybe 7-8 years ago studying the consolidation between the city of Buffalo and Erie County. And the conclusion was it wouldn't save them that much money.
Right.
And the danger of consolidation. And there was a push by a guy by the name of Kevin Gaughan from the Buffalo area.
Right, yep.
Throughout the state. And the danger of that is centralization to fewer and fewer people to make decisions, which reduces the citizens' representation in this, this democracy. And I think that's a huge danger. The real culprit of high costs of municipalities, et cetera, government, are the public unions. The public unions are, especially New York State, are completely off the charts as far as abuses go and benefits, et cetera, way above comparable jobs in the private sector. That's what has to be done. Make New York a right-to-work state and eliminate mandates.
John, thanks for the call. Let's let our guests respond to that. Anybody want to weigh, agree, or disagree? I think they would like to not touch the last portion of John's call if possible. Is that fair? Yeah, okay. Well, we've got more people on the line as well. And our next caller is Joan. Is it Joan? And are you a former mayor, Joan?
I'm Josephine.
Oh, Josephine.
Yes. I'm Josephine Metella. And,
hi, Joan.
Hi, Margay. I was very involved in trying to fight against the dissolution of the village of Brockport for one or two reasons. The first reason being the whole process is backwards. I mean, people spend a lot of time planning a vacation, and here we're talking about dissolving the village without a plan, and they go into this blindly. In the end, when we were through with all of our, with everything, we discovered that really you're not going to save that much money because you still have to deliver the services to the people in the town and in the village. And the town is much different from the village, and the village is much different from the town. Each municipality has its own needs. And if the town were to take over, they still have to plow the streets, they still have to maintain the sewers, they still have to take care of the water, they still have to pay the lighting districts, they still have to take care of the legacy payments. So all you're really doing is spreading the cost over the two municipalities, and you're really not gaining anything. And we felt that to go into this without a plan, and I think when the governor decided this was a good idea, I don't really think that they looked into what would be the ramifications. And another ramification would be the police department, which is something we felt very strongly about, because when that happens, the village would lose its police department, and the sheriff's department by law would have to come in and take over the duties of the police department. Now, every law enforcement is really stretched thin. So, of course, they would have to put on more officers, and that, in effect, would cost the village and the towns more because, again, you would have to hire more officers.
All right, Joe, I've got to jump in because we're going to run out of time. I've got to let Margie respond there. Go ahead, Margie.
I agree with her, and I think we covered many of those points earlier in the conversation with the proliferation of other districts and so forth, and the importance of the police to the people of Brockport, and the fact that it probably would cost more, certainly not less.
All right. We've got about 30 seconds left here. Margie, real briefly, you feel, it's in your term as mayor now, is it a stronger position now than 4 years ago when you had the dissolution vote?
And, oh, definitely. Yeah? I think so. We've got a village board that are all on the same page, and we're making a lot of progress and getting things done.
And I think, Rick, one of the messages we've heard from you this hour is not that mayors don't want to even allow dissolution votes, et cetera, but I think you're trying to make the case. And the good news is people are holding you accountable for the way their tax dollars are spent. And my guess is you welcome that.
No, we do welcome that, and I appreciate that comment. Yeah, we are not against dissolution. We want it to make sense if our residents want that. And we do want people to hold us accountable, and I think today people do that in a much better fashion.
Will you guys come back sometime? We should make this a semi-regular conversation. I mean, I think that it's a fascinating conversation on the way layers of government work, and we appreciate the access. I know our listeners do as well. The phones were lit up all hour, so come back and join us sometime.
We would love to.
Thank you so much for the opportunity of it.
Margie, Rick, thank you so much. We'll take a short break. Coming back, going to meet a doctor who is moving her family, a husband and three kids as well, to Canada in April. Tired of American healthcare? That's next.